Our second lesson this morning, it's actually some selected verses from Romans chapter 3, 5, and 16 of Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, in your bulletins, you have chapters 3 and 5, but you don't have the verses from chapter 16, and that's because I waited to the last minute and I sort of shifted direction slightly this week, and I wanted to make sure that I included everything. So I invite you now to listen for God's word to you. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Cenchrea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, and he will justify the circumcised on the ground of faith, and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely, therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let us pray. God of grace and love, we come to you now as your beloved children, seeking hope and love through our faith in you. Help us to receive the grace and love you offer to us, and help us to persevere in the face of struggles, knowing that in and through you we find hope and true love. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Paul's letter to the church leaders in Rome, it was completely unique in both form and function from all the other letters we attribute to Paul. Most of Paul's letters, they were written to churches that he established on his own, churches that needed help addressing specific issues within their community. But again, this letter we read from today, it was different. See, Paul had never been to Rome, and this letter, it was a way to introduce him and his thoughts and beliefs about Christ and and what he knew as the Jesus way to those Roman church leaders in hopes that they would find him acceptable and in turn offer him support both spiritually and financially. You see, Paul was hoping to get in good with the church leaders in Rome because he saw potential. He saw the potential of a good base of support of his operations for him to launch a spiritual campaign into the region of Spain. A campaign which, by the way, never happened. Nevertheless, this message was critically important to Paul. Therefore, so was the messenger. So who did Paul turn to? Who did he trust to deliver his magnum opus on the faith? He turned to a true patron of the faith, a deacon from the church of Cenchrea, someone who, with demonstrated leadership skills, someone with the means and ability to travel the long journey from Corinth to Rome, someone who knew the message inside and out, could answer questions and make interpretations when they were needed. In Paul's eyes, one person fit the bill, his sister in Christ, Phoebe. And I think that's fitting, especially considering that today is Mother's Day. Now, Paul's brief remarks about Phoebe, which we read, they may seem to be on the surface to be a simple and polite introduction. But it does, in fact, reveal quite a bit of information about her that we did not know. For example, Phoebe is a name of Greek origin. It's not a name that Jewish people used. And the evidence of that is the simple fact that this is the only person named Phoebe ever mentioned in the Bible. All that to say, Phoebe most likely came to the faith as a Gentile. As a Gentile woman, she was accepted into the movement, and she eventually gained a position of leadership as a deacon within the church of Cenchrea. And this was the first ever recorded deacon of the church. I'll say that again. Phoebe, a Gentile woman, she was the first recorded deacon of the early church. Now, we're not entirely sure what this meant for her role, but we can safely assume it involved hosting and leading meals and leading discussions and times of worship in her home in Cenchrea. So Cenchrea, it was a port city in Corinth, which was where Paul spent a significant amount of his time. And it was where he most likely composed his letter to the Roman church leaders with some help from his deacons. And we'll get to that in just a moment because that's important. But first, back to that introduction. In it, Paul also mentioned that Phoebe was a benefactor or a patron to him and his many people. In the Greek language and culture of the time, that meant that Phoebe cared for and gave both financial and spiritual aid to Paul and many other people. So given that bit of information and the fact that Paul did not mention a husband or any brothers in his introduction, as would have been custom for the day, we can safely assume that Phoebe was a woman of significant means, all on her own. You see, with a little bit of context and these few lines of introduction from Paul, we can see that Phoebe was influential and important to both Paul and that early church in Corinth. And one of the ways we can be fairly confident that Phoebe had some significant influence was in the writing of this letter to the Romans. And our confidence, it stems from the fact that in the ancient Roman world, in that Greek culture, the carriers of messages like these, they were not simply delivering a letter. They quite often read the letters aloud to the church leaders upon their arrival. They answered the questions from the group, and they offered their own interpretations of the meaning behind those words. So the best way to prepare for that would be to help write the letter itself, to offer guidance and insight to the author on the major topics of discussion. Couple that with the fact that in the ancient Roman world, letters like this one, they were never, ever composed by a single author sitting at their own desk, writing until their inkwell ran dry, getting every little detail just perfect. It was quite the opposite, actually. At that time, letters were often dictated to a scribe in a group setting with multiple influential voices contributing to the overall tone and content of the letter. Now, again, we don't have a lot of information about Phoebe, and we don't know if she was a mother. But at least to me, it is clear that a mothering presence, a feminine perspective, was a source of influence, inspiration, and wisdom in these writings. And it's probably because when I read it, I can't help but hear my mother's voice echoing throughout certain parts of this passage. And she used to say to me, and I'm sure most parents did and hopefully still do, "I know you don't want to do it, but you're going to do it anyway because it will build character." And why was it that everything I hated as a child seemed to build character? So this idea that our afflictions, our sufferings, and our hardships, that they produce endurance, and endurance builds character, and character then produces hope. Hope which is not only from God, but reveals to us that God is love itself. And that love which is of God and from God, it is unconditional, freely given to us all. That is the type of wisdom that comes from a feminine perspective, from a mother's perspective. And there are all types of women in our lives, mothers or not. And they almost daily experience hardship and affliction, all to ensure that we are properly cared for. These women in our lives, they risk it all. They put themselves out there every single day to make sure that we have all of our needs met. And they do this every day with hardly a thought or a care for their own sense of well-being. They endure the constant whining, nagging, and seemingly endless needs from their children, along with the pressure from our culture to appear as if they have everything figured out and are completely composed at all times. And that perseverance, it builds character, true character. So to all of the women in our lives who meet the challenges of everyday life, who persevere in the face of despair, pain, and anguish, to those women who have taught us how to endure, through them emerges hope. And hope is founded on that love of God, and God's love is poured out for us all. to all the women who, like Phoebe, helped Paul to see and understand that through our times of struggle, we can persevere and find that hope. To you, we say thank you. Thank you for never giving up. Thank you for having the faith to hope, to see things through to a better day. Because through your hope and through your faith and in pouring out your love for us, we all come closer to God and God's infinite, unconditional, unwavering love that God chooses to freely pour out and give to each and every one of us, whether we feel like we've earned it or not. So to all of the women in our lives, thank you.